There were a couple soldiers who were on leave, 24-hour pass. They'd been out traveling around and visiting and doing their thing, but they were running a little late getting back. And you know that's not a good thing. They were driving madly through the countryside. One of them was driving, one of them was sleeping because it was getting late. But a big bump in the road came along, and he woke up, and when the driver saw that he was awake, he said, "I've got some good news for you, and I've got some bad news for you." He says, "Okay, what's the bad news?" And the soldier says, "Well, we're lost." "Great. What's the good news?" "We're making excellent time." There was on television several years ago a commercial for a four-wheel drive. I believe it was a Jeep Cherokee. It had a fishing guide taking a customer out to go fishing. But as they're driving along, he's driving madly through the countryside, and everywhere he goes, there's bombs blowing up on one side or the other of the truck. And the customer says to him, "You can tell me, we're lost, aren't we?" But the driver consistently demands that he knows exactly where he's going as another bomb goes off. Men are supposed to hate having to ask for directions, aren't we? We don't want to ask anybody for directions. We know the right way. We don't need to have somebody tell us the right way. And when we finally give up and decide that we've got to do something about it, we've got to be able to find out what's going on, we stop and we ask directions, and then we decide that those directions are wrong, and we go our own way anyway and do our own thing. We get lost all the time. When I was a kid, my father was in the service. We moved a lot of times, about every 2 years. Mother and I figured out one time that we lived in 17 places in 13 years. Some of those were 6 months at a time, TDYs, things like that, but a lot of them were 2 years. When I remember them, they were 2 years. And so I was always in a new neighborhood, always in a new town. And so I would get on my bike and just start riding. Get out there and do my thing. Left, right, turn, go find the downtown area, wherever that was. We always stayed in small out towns just outside of the big town. So I'm never in much danger. But I was wander around and try to figure out where I was so that when I went to school and stuff, I wouldn't get lost. I tried to get lost in order not to get lost. And it helped out a lot. Today, though, I'm a lot quicker to ask for directions, because I know that I can get lost pretty easily. If I'm going to go out to visit with one of you, I'm going to come to your house, and I've never been there before. I come to the street you're on, and it's Smith Street left and Smith Street right. It's Smith Street either direction. And you're at 17 Smith Street. Which way is that, left or right? Well, if my gut tells me it's to the right, if everything that I've got within me tells me that it's to the right, it's to the left. Now, I know north and south, east and west, and that's pretty good stuff, and I can find my way around, but there's a lot of places in here, especially between Grover Cleveland and Cardinal. Have you ever been back in there? You can get lost real quick, and none of the streets seem to match up. They go and go and go and go, and they hook, and they add additional streets, and then you make a turn, and suddenly you've got nothing. You're nowhere. And you have to turn around and come all the way back to find the cross street that goes this way. It's pretty bad. And then Sugar Mill. Sugar Mill? Pine Drive hits Pine Street? Pine Circle? No, I don't know about any. Do we have a Pine Circle?
No.
Whoa. But there's Bursonima Court South, West, and East. Loop, Circle, Terrace. I don't know what all is over there. And River Haven's not any better. Don't start getting real uppity on us there, people from River Haven. You go over there, and you have to know whether you're on the north side of the river or the south side of the river, or you're in trouble there. I mean, this is good stuff. It's important to be able to know where you're going. One thing I do know, though, before we can find our way, we have to know that we're lost. In the scripture lesson this morning from Acts, Peter inspired by the Holy Spirit, stands up and he starts preaching to a group of religious people. They are in town because of the holy holidays. They're not there because they're just on vacation or something like that. They're there for the holidays. They're there to worship. But they're there, and what they don't know is that they're lost. They are so lost that they cannot find their way. They're so lost, but they're making great time. Now the disciples, inspired by the Holy Spirit, stand up and start preaching. They start teaching, talking in strange languages. And this causes such a hubbub that the people begin to think that the disciples are all drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. But Peter stands up and says, no, they're not drunk. Let me tell you what's going on. What's happening is they're fulfilling the prophecy from Joel. And because it is the fulfillment of this prophecy, they all should know that God made Lord and Savior of this Jesus whom they crucified. God made Lord and Savior this Jesus whom they crucified. And the people go, oh. And they understand what they have done. And they are, the scriptures say, cut to the heart. Cut to the quick. Our heart is pierced. And they yell, ouch. They realize what they have done. They understand the enormity of it. They understand that it's like that old commercial, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. You get yourself in trouble doing that kind of thing. Well, it's not nice to play around with the living God. This is the God of creation. This is the God of the universe. This is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the God of Sinai who made the mountain shake and caught them on fire. Scared the people so bad they didn't want to have anything to do with God. They appointed Moses to go and you go and take care of that kind of stuff. This is the God of the exile that cast the people of Israel out of Israel and into Babylon. This is the God that they were trying to deal with right here. These people were convicted of their part of the execution of Jesus Christ. They knew of their sin and they knew they needed forgiveness. And that's great for them, right? I mean, wait a minute, I wasn't there. Not my problem. I never yelled, crucify him. I never tried to nail Jesus Christ to the cross. But to paraphrase John in his scripture, when Jesus came to the man born blind, do you remember the story? We read it just a few weeks ago. Jesus asked him he wanted to be healed, and he spit on the ground and he made some mud and he wiped, put it on his eyes, and he told him to go and wash his face, and when he did, he could see again. And it comes to the attention of the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin wants to know what's going on here. Why is somebody healing on the Sabbath? And eventually Jesus and the Sanhedrin go at it head to head. And Jesus says that they were blind. And they say, we're not blind. And Jesus said, the very fact that you say you're not blind proves that you are blind. Or the very fact that you say you're not lost proves you are lost. In other parts of the book of Acts, the disciples come to the people of Israel and they tell them that they are God's people. But they were people who did not participate directly in the... Boy, am I having trouble today. They are not people who did not participate directly in the execution of Jesus. Their sin, their call to repentance, was a call to believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. We have a choice. We can believe in the good news and be obedient to God's will for our lives, or we can reject Him. And unfortunately, we reject. We nail Jesus Christ to the cross rather than accept the good news of Jesus Christ and live according to His way. Before there can be any repentance, before we can be found, we have to be convicted. We have to acknowledge that we are lost and that we are in need. of the forgiveness of God, and that there's nothing that we can do to earn it. When we know how really lost we are, then we can reorient our lives towards God and live out under the Lordship of Christ and to be His people doing His will each day. But when we fail to hear the good news, when we fail to know God's call and be obedient to His word, then we are rejecting the one who brings the good news. And our words and our deeds cry out to the world that we are lost. Now, the people of Israel that were gathered together on that Pentecost Sunday, they understood this. They understood that they had fallen short of the glory of God, and they needed to do something. And they yelled, ouch! They yelled, talked to Peter and says, what can we do? How do we change this? And Peter was pretty direct in it. He says, first off, he says, knowledge that you're lost. First thing you need to do is know that you're lost, that you have wandered away from the God and you don't know the way back. Or as Jesus said at the beginning of His ministry, repent, turn away from evil, and turn back to God. Second thing Peter told them to do is to receive direction. He talked about being baptized, because it is in our baptism that we receive the direction from God. We acknowledge the forgiveness from God and the fact that we cannot save ourselves. We need to find a point of reference, something that we can use to bring our lives back into focus and start them off again on the right path. And that focus is our baptism. It's the way we begin to connect ourselves with God so that we know the right direction to go in. And then that's the third thing that Peter was talking about. Set out. Do it. Get it done. Peter says, receive forgiveness. Begin a new life, freed from the mistakes of the old one, from all your guilt and misconceptions, all the things that you have done wrong. Start over again. Go a new way that leads to life and joy instead of confusion and sorrow. Know what God has for each and every one of us. And then the fourth thing Peter suggests is that we arrive at our goal, that we receive the Holy Spirit, the promise of God, that we know that God is with us, that no matter how many times we turn away from Him, no matter how many times we get lost doing our own thing, God's grace and love is there waiting for us. And the assurance of His grace is ours forever if we will turn back to the Lord. It's easy to get lost. The road is hard to find and kind of steep. We've got all kinds of friends who are willing to point out the shortcuts and tell us how to beat the system. With friends like that, who needs enemies? We're still in the dark. We're still lost when we listen to them. But when we confess our sins, when we acknowledge that we have been lost, then we can be found. For as Peter says, the promise is for you and all who are lost. God gives the direction. It's up to us to follow the way. Amen.